So thank you for coming again today. We welcome you here and appreciate that you took the time to join us. So one resource I did want to refer you to is our Applied Interoperability page. This is sort of the story of Microsoft's interoperability for the protocol areas, and referring you to some of the case studies that we've worked on over time. Some of you we've worked on different projects. Particularly, I wanted to highlight our test suites. And before I talk about those, I did want to just say that we need to kill these things, you know, just you know, throw it in the garbage can, right? So, all right. On weekends, I do not have those things around. Anyway, Brian and Tom, you'll hear from a little bit later on our support team. Our other part of our greater team is our test team. Our Shanghai test team is represented here today. We've got Guqing, Feng, and Zach. They've been working hard getting the test lab set up. So Jeroen had mentioned, and you've seen it in your handout, and also we will give you your specific IP addresses for some of you, like Mark was here yesterday. We gave you the IPs that you already have for the VMs, or if you need static IPs for your setup. Thank you for coming. They have developed a test suite that has given a virtual synthetic server implementation that you can test your clients against. We also have some newer tools that they'll be talking about for codecs and a virtual synthetic client as well. So test suites. That you can get to all of these from our Applied Interop page. Message Analyzer is another area that Brian will be talking about a little bit later. I did want to highlight for our open specifications for Windows 10. They have been published as of October. So those specifications relative to our M1 release cover the protocols that you can expect to see and some of the behaviors that Jeroen was referring to that we've already announced in RDP in particular. But all of our open specifications for Windows have been published for our preview. Again, thank you to the support team for being here with us this week. We couldn't put these events on without you. Tom will be talking a little bit more detail about this. I do want to highlight, we record these events. You can go back and see our June event, for example, our worldwide events, Taipei, Shanghai, Beijing. All of our PlugFest events have been recorded recently and posted to Channel 9. We will do the same with many of the presentations from this event. So not only look for the slides from us, but the recordings as well. So thank you for joining. Any questions about test tools in particular, other resources? If you have questions, feel free to ask me. Don't hesitate to come by. We'll be at the doors with the orange. You can't miss them in the hallway. The orange markers, the trim. That's where the Microsoft team will be. And we have set up so that we can test with you. A number of you have taken advantage of this in the past with us. And we look forward to working with you this week. Thanks, Jeroen.
Okay, then also I would like to introduce Yoshi and, sorry, so Yoshi and Jack, and who are here from our patent licensing team. So for our RDP, we have a patent licensing program. So if you have any questions, then, so Yoshi and Jack, just raise your hand. So they're in the back here. So we have this licensing program, so contact them with any questions. So in the break, they're here if you have any questions around the licensing program and to have further discussions about that. So we basically have a couple of agreements in place that they can give you some more details about. So I actually... go here. So then, as Daryl mentioned, all the folks from the RDP protocol support team are here. So let me...
I guess I'll come up and...
Yeah. So. Go ahead, Tom.
My name's Tom Devi, and again, thank you guys for actually coming. And I know some of you have traveled quite a distance. And so kind of in the context of protocols, we have this alias called DocHelp, and we also have the forums. So we're the guys behind all of that. So I know a lot of you have interacted with Brian and Tarun and Cherie on various support cases. But this week, while you guys are here, as we are your advocates. So if there's any types of questions, even product issues or things that you're facing, we're the guys that you're going to reach out to. And we kind of have a simple process that, you know, we capture everything, we create a support incident so that you can track it, and then we communicate back to you. So it's really, really important this week to get value is to interact with us. And it can be, you know, for example, yesterday I was talking to Marc-Andre, and he had a whole bunch of issues around supportability, around Windows, and they were really good questions and really issues, and we're capturing those and actually finding bugs against the product. So we're here this week to help you with any of the technical questions you have around the protocol documentation. Kind of a secondary thing, but just as important, is we also have the test engineers who are just as capable. And they themselves have spent a lot of time and resources in detailing the protocols, and they themselves are also your advocate. So when you find anomalies or things like that, is we partner with the test team and they partner with us to help resolve your issues this week. So it's really important. We're all here. This is I call it the full court press, because we're here to help you guys. Okay? Anyways, thank you for coming.
Okay, and then I wanted to also highlight actually some changes that we're making. Some of you guys have had access in the past to like the remote effects partner sites, where we had made also some of the things around the logo program available that we used to have. So there's two things. Basically, we're migrating part of that site to the cloud and interop site, which is where also the test suites are hosted currently. So we're going to move that that over there. And then the logo program, and most of you have already seen and who've been part of the remote effects logo program, actually. And also, just first of all, thanks so much for supporting that program over the last couple of years. We decided earlier this year to deprecate that program, and we're still actually looking at a ways of how we can highlight some of these devices externally. So that's maybe something still in the future that we're enabling. But the program basically has been deprecated July 1st, and the site for it will basically retire on January 1st. But we're actually still looking at ways of how we can make these devices available so that we can list those. Daryl mentioned a couple of the links as well, when we actually also talk about the team after this presentation, we'll talk about the test suites. Also, the location to the test suites, that's where that's hosted actually on our Connect on our Connect website, and so we'll make more resources available there as well. So we'll migrate that there. So I just want to give a heads up so you guys know what's going to happen there. So I wanted to actually basically go through some of the basic sort of things on RDP, or the things that I, as I sort of get questions through about like RDP and some of the implementations. So I want to just go through and give sort of an overview of some of these things. Some of these slides might actually look familiar for the folks that have been here the last PlugFest. I want to make sure that everyone is on the same page on some of these things. So in general, like the RDP clients that you're developing are applicable to many different platforms. And like Windows Multipoint Server, so what Levy and Dave and Rob are going to talk about tomorrow, that's actually also a platform that can be used with your clients. And not everyone is necessarily always aware that that's another platform that you can actually use with your RDP client. So I want to make sure that that's highlighted. The other thing is like for sort of around the codecs that we support, and I actually have the slides there with sort of all the different codecs that we actually are using for the different protocol versions. But if you sort of look at the RDP protocol, like what are sort of the really important things to support and make sure you support in your client. Those are actually the connection broker, so the XML feed, and we also have, for example, the email address that can be used. Right, I can specify a DNS entry, which is a text record in my DNS, and that can then be used to find the right connection broker. And so this way, this functionality is actually enabled in all of our clients. So you can basically see there how it also works. But that's actually an important important feature also for users to easily find the remote desktop environment that they're working with. Remote app, pooled desktops, those are all features like as part of remote desktop services. Again, really important to support those because those are actually sort of the standard features part of remote desktop services. So those are actually much more used now. And as Klaas mentioned, right, we are seeing also growth for the on-prem. And again, these are actually sort of the features that really apply to that. Gateway. So Ben and his team will talk about that also this afternoon. So that's some really important features to support. And then network-wise, so we added UDP support in RDP 8. And in RDP 8.1, we also had the quick reconnect feature. So if you have disconnected from a server, and we actually have a way now to be able to faster reconnect. So those are some of the features that really that we really see being utilized out there and important to support. So if we're looking sort of at the different codec requirements that we have for RDP clients, so these are basically, so you see all the different columns, right? Like, so these are 7 columns. So column 1 and 2 really describe sort of the 2008 and Windows 7, when we actually had RDP 7.1. Here it's more like basically you had sort of options to implement sort of the codec that you had available and say, okay, well, look, I implement just one codec and negotiate that with the server. We moved away from that model and we really tried to narrow down a sort of a list of configurations rather than having all of these different configurations that we need to test and making it more complex and more error prone. We actually locked it down to only a certain set of configurations. So with RDP 8, so column 3 and 4, basically the default mode is sort of 3, so column number 3 here, which we use the progressive Callista codec, which is described in the RDP EGFX document, and planar. So planar is used by RDP as the lossless codec. You basically have to enable that through a group policy, and then you can force the server to operate in lossless mode. We also actually enabled the video optimized remoting virtual channel, which is, or the document it applies to is EVOR. And that actually enables the remoting of like video. So when we detect video on the server, we will actually transmit this via this EVOR channel if that's enabled on your client. Then we actually added a couple of new features in RDP 8 that we'll talk in a minute about. But the TSWP, which is the document that describes the remote app, so that one is actually supported with all of these features. But then if we then move to column number 5, we enabled this newer version of remote app, where we enabled, for example, the preview mode on the taskbar, right? So when you go on the taskbar and you actually want to preview a certain task, that actually was enabled with RDP 8.1. So that's enabled with 2012 R2 and Windows 8.1. And the other thing that we did in actually in 8.1, that's the reason why we have another yes there on that on this particular column here, is that we have now dynamic display. So if I actually move my window, and you actually saw this happening this morning, when I moved my window from my main laptop screen to a different resolution, it automatically resizes it and resizes the remote session. So that's actually one of the things that we implement in RDP 8.1. It also, basically dynamically, if you're sort of rotating your tablet, that it actually also can change the aspect ratio of that. So that's actually sort of the feature that we introduced with RDP 8.1. And that is only actually support, all of those features are actually only supported in the default sort of mode, which is column number 5. And again, that uses progressive Callista codec, clear codec, and planar. We have these other modes, so actually mode number 4 and mode number 6. And really what this is when you report this up to the server, there's a flag that you can set. Those flags are actually outlined at the bottom there. Basically what these flags negotiate, if you're sending up the thin client flag, is that it will swap out the RemoteFX, the progressive Callista codec with the RemoteFX codec. So if you have the RemoteFX Callista codec that we introduced with RDP 7.1 in hardware, this will then still enable you to leverage that particular chip. So that's the reason why we implemented that in RDP 8 and 8.1. So those are actually the thin client modes, what we refer to as the thin client mode. And then the last column, column 7, is the H.264 mode that we have. So we have an H.264 or AVC mode in RDP 8.1. And we really introduced this mode to actually leverage with sort of low-powered devices that don't necessarily have a lot of CPU power. That mode is available, and you basically can negotiate that with the server. It will use H.264, it will use 420 H.264, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. Any questions so far beside the 264 before I go into that a little bit more in depth?
I never get the planar codec unless I configure the lossless mode on the server. Is it ever used in a non-lossless mode case?
No, it's only actually used in the when you set the group policy specifically. Okay. So that's the only case currently with this version of RDP. Any other questions? Okay, let me actually talk a little bit more about the 264. So for that mix mode, what I talked about, so we have sort of two modes of where we use 264, right? So one is the EVOR, or Video Optimized Remoting Channel, which is just a separate virtual channel that is used for sending basically video content. Like if we detect video content, fast-moving content, we will actually try to send this to through the EVOR channel. Then you have the mix mode H.264 that I just talked about, that last column. And that one actually is used then for everything else. And so it uses basically a combination of 264 and clear codec. We basically say for if you have a chip that supports H.264, you have a decoder in your hardware to basically make sure that it supports high profile, so high profile 420. For the EVOR channel, like main profile is sufficient, but just to err on the safe side, it's better to have high profile. It needs the chip that you're actually using in your hardware needs to support the low latency decode, because certain chips actually buffer, right? Like buffer like a couple of frames, because for video it doesn't really matter, right? Like when I send that across the wire, I can buffer the video and play that on the client. But obviously with interactive screen content like we're using with RDP, you don't necessarily want to have the delay of 10 frames. So in order to prevent that, you need to make sure that low latency decode is supported there. And then as far as performance requirements, so each H.264 or AVC chip has different performance characteristics. The most common right now, from what I've seen, is like 4.2, but as we're now getting to higher resolutions above like 1080p, right, where you get like QHD and 4K, we're actually going over this, so that's basically level 5.1 and 5.2 that you would support. But at least at a minimum, these are the sort of the minimum requirements. So the 4.1, and then you can at least that performance level as specified in the AVC standard supports 30 frames per second, and 4.2 does support 60 frames at 1080p. So as far as latency, like round trip, so one of the basically to stay below the 200 milliseconds round trip for RDP, because obviously the faster the better. Users typically start to notice around like 100 milliseconds, but depending on the connection, you can and depending on the requirements, right? If you have users that are sort of sitting out there with satellite links or actually very high latency connections, like 200 milliseconds is basically the max there. So those are actually sort of the requirements around the H.264 and AVC. Any questions on that? Mark?
Does that mean that if the server detects over 200 milliseconds of latency, it will try to reduce the amount of H.264 it sends?
No, it's not specifically. Like, we basically use it more as a guiding for saying, okay, well, look, between 200 milliseconds, obviously we could sustain larger than that, but obviously your experience will detriment really, will get really bad if you have a lot of latency there. So. Then the other thing, actually, I just want to comment on this as well. So you guys may have noticed, we actually also recently did a blog post about our updates to the RDP protocol documentation. And so we made a modification for the technical preview. So as part of the technical preview documentation, we posted a couple of changes. One of the changes was actually in regards to AVC that we're actually enabling in Windows technical preview. So we're actually greatly changing that. So yes, you can. It will work with the existing versions of the server if you negotiate it. But actually, things are greatly going to change there. So it's more to say, like, don't spend too much time on implementing that, because things will change there. So at this point, unfortunately, a little bit early to talk about exactly what all the changes are. Unfortunately. We need a little bit more time for that, but we'll make sure, obviously, we get the updates to you around that. But in general, obviously, AVC and H.264, there's lots of benefits as far as like utilizing this within hardware, the fact that you're using a lot less CPU, and the fact also from a bandwidth consumption perspective that you have a lot more throttling capabilities there. So expect more news to come on that. Oh, go ahead, Darrell.
Let's see, when Remote Effects was first premiered a couple of years ago, it there were a lot of diagrams that showed it intelligently deciding which codec to use for which part of the screen and all this really promising stuff. How do I put this generously? There is some room left to improve the server in that area. Mm-hmm. Have there been any changes in that in vNext? Selection of codecs and dynamic tuning of the session as it goes?
So we've made actually specific, so one of the main focuses has been around sort of the OpenGL support and OpenCL and enabling sort of all of these engineering workload applications. So as a result, that's also where we've invested some more time also to actually optimize the server side. As far as like specific changes, we've not actually specifically changed, on general RDP server from the detection. We've done some bug fixes as well on that, not that we had sort of a major item. We've actually been improving it, but so depending on sort of the issues that you're seeing, love to hear more if there's a specific change there.
So I can add a little bit to that. Because I've shared this with a couple of people in the room about they specifically wanted to know, how do I test VOR, and specifically how do I make an application guarantee me that they're sending me H.264? And notwithstanding all the detection schemes, if you're the application writer of the application that you know is H.264, there's a Win32 API that you could call that kind of gives a hint to the RDS stack saying, hey, I'm H.264. If you're not the application writer, there is actually a registry entry that you could plop in that gives the RDS stack a hint, and you need to know the window name of the app. And if you want to follow up with me on that, just let me know.
There's actually one, as a sort of thing through, there was actually one, there's one change that we did make to further optimize our detection method. And that was actually more of a bug fix, but we've actually made a change there. So I definitely would check it with the Windows technical preview. That change have only gone into the technical previews at this point. So I would definitely actually test with it. That, and that actually applies to any sort of like connection that you make. So even non-vGPU connections would be applicable to that. So that's, and that's specifically more the detection methods around text and so on. So I don't know actually the effect. It should actually also change some of the characteristics around the EVOR in terms of like the detection. So I definitely test it, so let us know. Any other questions? Okay, so we'd already talked a little bit about the lossless mode. So these are actually the registry keys. It's actually a group policy, but this is the actual registry key that gets set. So we definitely recommend to test with this particular registry key to make sure that your implementation is accurate. We found that there were some, like with planar implementations, where there had been some changes over time, and things as a result weren't working with the later versions of RDP. So definitely test with this, so that way I can assure that that things work when customers enable this. So this was actually the adaptive graphic. So Daryl actually just mentioned as well. Like, so we have this detection mechanism on the server that actually detects whether it's images, text, or video. And so we have some levers that you can set on the server that actually sort of influence this, the way of how we detect this, but also the way it's actually also changes some of the characteristics around, like, sort of the codecs we use and what sort of the compression type is that we're using. So from a client perspective, you just need to make sure that you support sort of the different codecs, and then this actually enables sort of customers to tweak sort of the behavior on the server a bit. But that shouldn't really matter from a client side perspective, just to make sure that you have the codecs there. Perfmon, so we actually output these counters. One thing I actually want to highlight, because that's actually also one of the questions that we get, because of the fact that, so you may know this process rdvgm.exe, that is actually running on the host. So if you look sort of at your deployments here in the labs, there's an rdvgm.exe process that runs on your Hyper-V host that actually works and helps to basically set up the RDP connections and renders the connections for the VMs that you have enabled with a remote FX vGPU. Now, as a result, some of the counters, the perfmon counters for RDP, are actually living on the host. So that's actually really important to know, because otherwise you may be wondering, like, well, I'm actually monitoring this VM and I'm monitoring this remote FX counters or RDP counters, and I don't see any data. So, and that's because of the fact that some of this gets generated at the host. And the same goes for the event log, right? So the event log, we actually output a lot of information about the connection. So if you go into the application services log, there is a log called Remote Desktop Services RDP Core TS. That log is basically also tracked within the VM, even on a vGPU session. But you should also check the event log on the host as well. And anyway, so that's where we actually log a lot of information. So if you see any warnings show up there, or basically issues with the client where you don't see it with the Windows client, for example, then this is actually a really good place to sort of track that and isolate some of these issues. Because particularly in the connection configuration and connection setup time, it's a good way to ensure that you're not actually generating any server errors in the event log. That could sort of set up the alarm bells when running at a customer site. So let's dive into like the lab. So if you've indicated, I think that most folks have a lab set up. So we have the labs basically behind us. This is a row of where all the labs are. Everyone should have got on a lab. Basically, the setup that you have in the lab are four Hyper-V systems. So you have Windows Server 2012 R2 with Hyper-V. You have the Windows Server 10 tech preview, as mentioned. So that's a host and the client VM. One thing to note here is that the passwords, they're actually written on your board inside inside the lab. So they're actually different between the Windows 10 technical preview and the Server 2012 R2. So just make sure you use the right password. So what do we have in the lab? So we have a Windows 7 SP1 vGPU VM. So this way it actually enables you to sort of test with Windows 7 as well. Then we have an 8.1 with the vGPU enabled. We have a Server 2012 broker. We have, and all of these systems, actually the left two systems are all living in one Active Directory domain. So we have DNS set up, we have a certificate authority set up there. And then we have on the second system, so on the second column here, we have also the test kit set up. So you can actually use these systems to start testing with the RDP test kits, which you guys will be talking about in the next session. So there's basically a lot of resources available to you for testing, and a lot of like the different configurations that that are possible. I don't know if I forgot anything. Is there, Guqing, Zach, is there anything that I've missed there, or part of configuration? So the gateway is also, is that, okay, perfect. So yeah, so we have actually a gateway set up as well, and then and there's also an RDSH server. So that is the lab setup we have, and also actually one other thing to note, the network. So if you actually want to just have a closed network, you can actually just remove the network cable. There's a switch in your office, and so you could unhook that if you want to just actually test on a private network. All of the VMs, or I should say all of the systems on the network, actually have their own static IP address. So, and Daryl, I don't know if there is a specific thing you want to add there.
That, exactly. So in addition to all the static IPs for the systems you see on the chart, and for those of you who are here today and haven't gotten it yet, we'll give you the static IPs that you have in your office. So if you need to add a static IP that'll work with these systems, that's fine. We have several already spare IPs allocated for you. So other than that, as Jeroen said, if you're plugged onto the test network, you can communicate with the other devices on the test network, including going out to the internet if you need to, or you can isolate your systems as needed. So that's. And the other thing is just to remember. Someone had asked earlier, how do I get onto the wireless network for guest access? The wireless network, please keep in mind, MSFT Open is the guest wireless network here in the building. That is a disjoint network from our test network. So that'll get your devices so that you can access the internet, go back and access email and other resources. So MSFT Open, Wi-Fi. Just a reminder on that. And again, our test network is your hardwired network that you can plug into the hubs. If you need an Ethernet cable or static IP, just let us know. Any questions about the lab setup that Jeroen has presented?
Other questions? Any other general questions?
So in the next session, the test team is going to show a really cool tool that's beyond just the test suite.
It's the afternoon. So we had like a change. But yeah. So
their demo is going to show actually decoding frames through the various seven stages of dequantization and IDWT and so forth. So when I saw it yesterday, it was like, wow, I know a lot of you would be looking for that. So definitely look for their demo this afternoon.
Okay. So.
Cool. So yeah, that will be the next session. So we're like 10 minutes ahead of schedule. We had a break scheduled as well. Maybe we could just take a 20-minute break and then.
Yeah, so let's take 10, 15. if you need 20, take 15 minutes break. Let's come back
10:50
and get started on the test suite presentation.